Welcome to the Rise Network podcast show, a podcast dedicated to help you reach your dream lifestyle through investing in real estate. We're going to be sitting down with new, intermediate, and experienced investors to talk all about real estate and how it has changed their lives. If you're looking to scale your portfolio or even just get into real estate investing, you're in the right place. Make sure to tune in.
All right, everyone. So we're going to be continuing these golden nugget episodes. Apparently, a lot of people, beginner and intermediate investors, have said they really enjoy the episodes. So if there's any topics you want us to cover, feel free to shoot either myself or Austin a message on the Rise Network Facebook and Instagram pages, and we can definitely cover those here for you guys. Today, we're going to be talking about building a power team. So building a power team, it's a word that gets thrown or a phrase that gets thrown around quite a bit in the real estate investing community. But I'm going to start by stressing here that it's really not a vital part of your business. It shouldn't prevent you from making your first purchase, is what I mean by that. Too many people use this as an excuse to not get started, saying they're looking for a good agent, a good property manager, a good renovator, etc. And I've personally always learned on the go, meaning my power team has changed over the years. What I look for has evolved. And as I add members to my power team, it constantly changes year over year. So I'll outline for you guys today who the key players are in my power team so you know who to look out for. But my big disclaimer is the more volume you do, the more your power team will value being part of your team. Meaning if it's a one and done transaction, you really can't expect someone to be overly excited about being a part of your power team. My power team today respects my business. They bend over backwards for it as a result of the volume that I'm feeding them. So I'll try to tailor my advice for newbies and people that are looking to aggressively build out your portfolio. My power team today consists of my real estate agent, my mortgage broker, my property manager, my lawyer, my contractors, my insurance agents, my paralegals, and my investors. So it's really a full-fledged business, but I'll try to share my knowledge on each topic here and how it could apply to you guys. When I said, this power team has been growing over the last 3 to 4 years, and it definitely takes time. It's not something you just build right away off the get-go. So real estate agents, this is a very touchy topic because I know a lot of people have parents, siblings, aunts, uncles, cousins, etc. that are real estate agents. And you have this decision to make. Do you want to use them or do you want to completely separate your business from your family relationships? And that's basically what I've done. I don't think I've ever used someone that's family or friends, because for me, it's, you could be my real estate agent, but I could easily fire you tomorrow. And if you're my family or friend, that makes things hella complicated. So I've completely kept my family and my friends and all of that separate from my real estate business that I built out today. With the real estate agent, you've got a pretty big decision to make there. Do you want to go with someone that's experienced or new? Overall, I tell anyone to focus on an agent that is investor friendly or investor focused. But within that, you have the community of agents that are very publicly out there, very investor friendly. So they're experienced. They've got a very established clientele. But as a result of being so established, they are also really good at finding good deals. Right? They know what to look for. They know exactly what the various strategies are that investors are doing. But the trade-off that I see there, and I see this with a lot of new investors, is, you know, like those experienced agents, they already have loyal clients. For example, my agent is definitely experienced. He's really good, but he brings me deals that are either off market, or if they're on the market and it's a really good deal, he'll bring it to me because he knows I'm going to close on it. He knows what I'm looking for and he knows I will close. So if you're in a new investor, you're looking to just get started, you really can't expect the same level of loyalty from an experienced agent that's, you know, had clients that have bought 2, 3, 4, 5 properties from them already versus you that's just really getting started. So that's one thing to keep in mind. Now, new agents, I think if you find the right new agent that's hungry, that's going to grind it out with you, there's a lot of power in that, right? So working with the new agent that's hungry, if they're okay to throw out multiple lowball offers and they won't overpressure you to pay, I think that's amazing, right? It could have significant benefits for both of you guys. A new agent is getting experience with every deal, and you're able to throw out multiple offers without feeling bad about wasting someone's time. It's important to just be frank about it, right? Like tell them like, look, I'm not going to overpay. I'm going to probably throw out 5 offers, 10 offers a week or something like that. Are you okay with that? Are you game for it? Right? Because it does take up a lot of their time as well for what might not be too much commission if you're looking outside of the GTA. The next part is property managers. You want your property manager to be local. You don't want to also be a small fish in their pond. And so what I mean by that is there are huge property managers out there that have 300, 400, 500 properties. But if you just got one property, you're really a small fish in their pond. You can't expect the same level of responsiveness from them that they might give someone that has 20, 30, 40, 50 units in their portfolio. So just make sure that you're cognizant of that. There is value in joining a property manager that's just getting started. As you grow your portfolio, they can grow at theirs as well. And so you'll definitely be valuable to them. Be cautious of overly low price property managers. Realistically, like, it's a business, so they have to make their money somewhere. So if they're charging you a very low fee monthly, they're probably going to hit you somewhere else, right? Whether it's in maintenance, upselling, the leasing fee, et cetera. So also look out for the limitations on your property managers. Some may not be willing to do some areas, certain types of tenants, et cetera. Maybe it's like, maybe they just don't like student rentals. I'm a firm believer that I don't want to have 3 or 4 property managers in one city. I might have only one property manager for one city, but if I've got like 2 or 3 property managers within that city, then that's a major headache and a major pain for me, right? Like, one property manager is going to get all of my business for that region. Next, the lawyers. So this is like, they're a member of your power team really, but it only becomes super valuable when you're doing a significant volume. Overall, I just say, make sure your lawyer is accessible. They know what they're doing and they charge a fair rate. As you evolve, your needs for the lawyer will evolve too. So make sure they can handle any last minute changes, any corporate needs that may emerge as well as your business continues to grow. Contractors. This is definitely the most requested information from me. I'm sure Austin would agree if he was on this as well. Like, everyone wants to know who's your contractor. I personally don't give out my contractors. And the reason for this, and like, I'm just going to be fully candid about this. I think a contractor, if it's a one and done transaction for that contractor, they're definitely going to overcharge you, right? So I can recommend someone a contract and I can say, hey, they're going to be really good. They're going to get things done on time, et cetera. But they do that ultimately because I give them repeat business and they know me and we already have a rapport. So when you're first getting started, like when I take it back to my first couple of deals that I needed renovated, it was all about like, I'd reached out to various investors. I actually, here's a good example. My first property, I actually paired up with another investor that needed a house renovated as well. And we reached out to this one contractor and we told him, look, like, both of these houses are yours. Both projects are yours if you give us a fair deal on each one. So then he was incentivized because he saw a significant volume. And he's been a great asset for that market. Like, if I ever have a property there, I'll come out and I'll renovate it. And I already know his prices, right? But another strategy you can apply here is I actually joint ventured with Austin as a capital partner when I first got started in Windsor. This really helped me to leverage his network. It allowed me to meet his contractor, meet his property manager, et cetera. So the result of that is it's not a one and done transaction. You meet him on the first property. He's giving you a really good price because of the person that you joint ventured with. Now you know his prices. So the next property that you use him for, it's not your first property that you're using for, right? Because you already used them for one. So now this is your second property and you know his prices. So if he tries to overbid you and overquote you, there you go, right? But it's important, as you build rapport with them, you can expect really to see their prices stay flat, maybe drop a little bit. Make sure you have contractors for different needs. I have a contractor for full gut renovation projects. I have another one for small to medium sized projects. And now I'm adding more subcontractor type trades. So for example, like, painting is something that will always come up. Flooring always comes up. It's not a full gut job, but I just need someone to get in there quick and do it quickly and get out, right? The next member of my power team, my insurance agent. If you're just getting started, you really don't need a super powerful insurance agent. My first couple of deals, I just went and called TD, Sonnet, Bel Air, various companies, and I got the quotes myself. As you scale, this really isn't the best usage of your time. And at a point, you just want to make sure that you have a reliable insurance agent on your team. To me, the agent I use now, that, like, he basically responds to me within 24 hours. He's recommended to me by my coach, and he can develop policies for almost any types of properties within 48 hours. So for example, I've got a property closing this week. I completely forgot to get my insurance quote on that. I'm going to be shooting him an email right after I finish recording this and getting that quote. And I know it'll be in place by the end of day Tuesday, which is great, right? Paralegals, one of the last parts of your power team. This really comes last. You don't need a paralegal before you have too many issues. But the moment you have issues with tenants, get them involved. Listen to Austin's last episode on cash flow. Make sure your property's cash flow is strong so they can afford a paralegal if needed. Have a local paralegal for the property that you're running into issues with. Often your property manager can refer you to some great ones. So that's an easy one. The last member of my power team is really my investors today. So investors is what allows you to truly scale. If you focus on just one property at a time with your own capital, that's perfectly fine too. It just depends on what you want to do. I saw the opportunities in front of me, and instead of passing on them, I started to bring in investors. For any real estate investor, this allows you to truly scale your projects and do multiple properties at the same time. In my opinion, if you aren't willing to lock up in a property yourself and close on it yourself, if need be, don't bother bringing in an investor then. that would just be a disservice, right? So make sure it's a really good deal, something that you would happily fund yourself and that you're confident in. And then you can go and approach an investor, right? And you can be like, hey, look, do you want to make this return with me or not, right? If they say no, be ready to close on it yourself. It's as simple as that, in my opinion. So with that being said, like, these are the members of my power team. This is what I look out for. As I said early on, don't let not having all members figured out prevent you from getting started in real estate. For me, it's developed over the last 3 to 4 years, and I'm constantly still developing it as I'm looking at like other cities and other flips and stuff like that. So I'm building out members in various areas that I can now reach out to again in a year from now, even if I get my second project in that area, I can quickly employ them because I've built out that rapport with them. So think about it like this. How many people would take you seriously if you said you were interviewing people for your power team, but you had no properties or you had nothing for them to work on? Your power team evolves over time, and it's not a formal relationship where I say, hey, you're now part of my power team. People know, and I know that they're part of my power team, and that's fine. That's great. Like, there should be no formally establishing a relationship like that, in my opinion. So with that being said, that's my power team. That's how, that's what I look out for. And, you know, hopefully you guys got some value out of that. I think I spoke pretty fast because I was trying to keep this under the 10-minute arbitrary time deadline that me and Austin set for ourselves. Like I said early on, if you guys have any other topics that you want us to cover, feel free to shoot us a DM. Tune in on Thursday for our next episode.